You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
What happens? The bush talks. The bush starts talking. And God begins to speak to him out of the bush and say, Moses, you've been in a comfortable place, but now it's time to go back into Egypt and to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Hallelujah. And so I believe sometimes, even as Christians and us in church and things like that, I believe sometimes we can get into a comfortable place where you think, I like it okay, just like it's going. No real riffles, no big problems, nothing much major going on. Life is good, family's good, job's okay, you know, church is okay. And if we're not careful, we get in a comfortable place where God has to begin to speak and has to begin to stir us up and say, but you're too comfortable where you are. I've called you for more than this. I've called you for a better day than this. There's more ahead of you than this. And besides that, Moses, not just about you, outside of where you are, there is a nation of Israel. There's a nation of Hebrews that are crying out and saying, we need a deliverer. How many know there are people outside of our doors today, all over our nation, all over our world, crying out saying, we need a deliverer? We need somebody to set us free. We need somebody to loose us from the taskmasters. We need somebody to speak into our life. We need somebody to stir things up a little bit. Amen? Hallelujah. And whatever your taskmaster can be, see, we can have a whole lot of taskmasters in our life. It may be relationships. It might be finances. It might be jobs. It might be religion. It might be law. It might be a whole lot of things that can be a taskmaster that keeps you in bondage or keeps you in slavery to something, keeps you answering to something other than the voice of God in your life. Amen. And so God begins to stir Moses up out of that place and begins to speak to him new direction in his life. And I believe that's what God is doing amongst us. And even in this house, I believe God is stirring us up and speaking some new direction in our life and some new things, some things that seem outside the realm of what is comfortable, outside the realm of what we know to be right now. You know, Moses started making excuses. When God begins to speak to him out of the bush, he's like, who, me? Why me? Why would you pick me? Why would you call me? Number one, I'm slow of speech. I don't speak that language. There's a whole lot of reasons, Lord, why you could have picked somebody else. Are you sure you're talking to me? And so while we sit sometimes thinking of our own shortcomings or our own inabilities to perform things, God said, I'm not looking at your ability. I'm not looking at your ability to perform this or work this in your life. And I want you to know this morning, if you're looking at situations or circumstances thinking, I don't know how I'm going to work this out. I don't know how I'm going to figure this out. Chances are you're not going to. But it's his ability in you and his strength in you to work those things, to perform those things in you that he's purposed. Above and beyond our degree of understanding of what we even think is in us to do. Or in us to accomplish. Amen? And so God calls him out of that place because it's more than about just Moses. Amen? It's about a whole nation of Israel, a whole Hebrew nation. God begins to draw Esther out of her comfortable place. How many know Esther had found a comfortable place? She got to take Vashti's place. She became queen. She became the favored queen in place of Vashti, and she's in the palace, and she's got perfume baths, and she's got her own eunuch to take care of her, and she's got her own servant. She's got all of those things. Life is good in the palace and in the life of Esther. She's in a comfortable place. But all of a sudden, Haman begins to stir up accusations and stir up trouble against the Jewish nation. And her uncle Mordecai sends word to her and says, Esther, you're going to have to go before the king. She said, Mordecai, you know that I don't have the right to just go before the king, that if the king calls for me, then I can go. But I don't have the right just to approach the king. And if I go towards the king and I approach the king and he doesn't want to see me, I could die for doing that. Because I don't have the right to just go in. He calls me and then I come. And Mordecai begins to say to Esther, Esther, don't think just because you're in the place where you are, that if you turn your head from this thing, that God won't raise up another deliverer, but you and your house will be lost. And he begins to challenge Esther out of that comfortable place and says to her, who knows, but maybe you are called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Hallelujah. I mean, no, we've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Hallelujah, because there's more than just about me and where I am right now. Hallelujah, because outside of Esther's gates was a whole nation that was in jeopardy, that was in need of somebody to go before the king, somebody to petition the king, somebody to bring deliverance into their life. Hallelujah. And when they begin to challenge Esther, Esther finally stands up out of her place and she says, if I perish, then I perish, but I'm going to go see the king and I'm going to intercede for my people. I may believe God has called us to be intercessors, to intercede on the life of our families and our loved ones, for our nation, for our community, our town. For those things, hallelujah, for those that go out amongst the community and ministry and things like that, God has called us to be intercessors. Whether it's in the storehouse down here ministering to those. I so appreciate Sister Robin because she continually brings the petition before the Lord for the addicts and those who are struggling with abuses. It's a rough place to be in, amen? And we don't stand here in condemnation or to condemn them, but to stand here saying, we're praying for you, we're believing God to intercede seed for our community, for our town, for our nation. I challenge you this week. I challenge you as you ride through the streets of Berkeley Springs, pray for your town, pray for your families, pray for those who are struggling, because prayer changes things. I know that because, and I've given this testimony before, when we went down to Pastor Justin's a couple, not this last spring, but the spring before that. If you know anything about Pastor Justin's family, and he gave a little bit of that testimony while he was here, he said, they live in Lake City, Tennessee. He said, we live in the meth capital of the world. And he said, well, you all are here. He said, we have ambassadors of Christ from all over the country, ministry from all over the country. We're in Lake City that week. He said, I want you to go through our town. I want you to pray over our town. I want you to speak in tongues and declare and prophesy over our town that God is going to shut down some of these meth labs and things like that, and God will bring deliverance in our town. Now, that sounds like, you know, a pretty big charge, number one. Number two, you're thinking, what's my prayer going to do against a giant that big? Amen? But we began to carve loads of people just while we were there in that conference that week. My family, we went down through, we prayed, we believed God, we spoke in tongues, we declared God's deliverance over the town of Lake City, and then we went home. Not thinking a whole lot about that. In November, that was in April of that year. In November of that year, Justin Phillips' daughter came home, had been addicted and dealt with abuse, substance abuse for meth for 9 years. They didn't know where she was. They had lost her. He had just made a phone call to Bishop. He said, Bishop, I think we've lost Whitney forever. I don't think we're ever going to get her back. And Bishop said to Justin, he said, Justin, before she was yours, she belonged to God. It wasn't but a week or so they got a phone call. Whitney was coming home to be with them. She is in their church now. She's gotten her training in nursing. She is on fire from God. She's getting married to their worship leader come August. God has supernaturally intervened in her life and brought her to a place of deliverance. I'm telling you, it works. It works. So don't take lightly your prayers, Robin. Don't take lightly your heart that God has placed and put upon your heart for those who are in need. By the grace of God, it's not me. By the grace of God, it's not my family. But by the grace of God, he can touch that family. Amen. And bring deliverance in that. How many know we need to come out of our comfortable place sometimes and bring some deliverance to those who are in need outside of our city gates here. Amen. What we receive here, what is imparted to us here, and what we come to know and understand in the power of Christ, we can take to the nations. Amen. And if what you're hearing preached and what you're hearing declare is not something that you can take to the nations, that you can take to the streets, then I submit to you it's probably not the gospel. because the gospel will work in every corner of the world, every nation, every tongue, every kindred, and every town. The gospel works. Amen? And so I believe that God is looking for some people to stand up and say, you know what, it's not just about me, but it's about those outside of me. Because if we turn our head to those things outside of us, ultimately they end up coming back somewhere around and affecting us. Amen? And so it is a challenge to us to be sensitive, to be aware, and to be deliverers, to be leaders, to be called out of our comfortable place sometimes and preach the gospel to those sometimes seemingly looking like they don't even want to hear the gospel. I was in a situation the other day where I was ministering to somebody and having prayer, but the whole time I was praying in that situation, I felt like God was ministering to the person beside of me. And I didn't actually get a chance to minister to that person beside of me, but I felt the Holy Ghost dealing with those people. So we don't always understand, even why we talk and why we share and what we say, that our words are not falling on somebody's ears as saying, you know what, I never heard that before. I never understood the plan of salvation. I never knew how you get saved before. But when we begin to declare that message of the gospel, how many know the gospel works? Hallelujah. The gospel brings deliverance. It brings healing. It brings salvation. And so I want to talk a little bit this morning. I think I'm going to go to Acts chapter 16, Jim, and whatever verse I gave you to start. I believe about verse 11. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning. How many knew that there was an earthquake in this area this week? That's pretty amazing to me. How many know that there is a shifting that's taking place? Earthquake happens when there's a shift that takes place. When something is moving, something's shifting, and what it happens is two rock formations, called a fault line, two rock formations that begin to move. And when they begin to move, there's a trembling or a shaking in the earth. Now, I believe that, how many know we are lively stones and we're rocks, and we know that we are built up of a holy habitation under the Lord and all this kind of stuff. How many know when as lively stones, as we begin to move, we can cause earthquakes? Anybody in here believe that besides me? When we begin to move, we can cause earthquakes. I want to talk to you this morning about causing an earthquake where you are. Anybody want to cause an earthquake? Me and Libby. Thank you, Libby. We're going to cause an earthquake this morning. I'm going to talk about a shifting. And the shifting sometimes comes not so much in our circumstances as it does sometimes comes in our way of thinking. How many know sometimes we have to have some adjustments in our way of thinking? We have to shift our mind, shift our concept, shift our way of thinking sometimes. Philippians 2 and 3 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How many of you in here this morning can say that you have the mind of Christ? Me and Chris. Okay. Philippians 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, let this way of thinking be in you, that the way Christ thinks. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that we have the mind of Christ. Now, Chris, I believe we do have the mind of Christ. Thank you for agreeing with me. But there are some times that I got to honestly say that I'm not always in the right frame of mind. Anybody in here with me on that one? There we go. We're not always in the right frame of mind. Amen. Sometimes we got to shift our way of thinking. Sometimes we got to shift our stinking thinking. Amen. Me and Ronnie. Thank you, Ronnie. Because sometimes, he's agreeing with me back there, sometimes we have to shift our mind and shift our way of thinking. And when I catch myself sometimes being caught up in things and in circumstances, and sometimes and I get a little grumbly or a little grouchy about it, and I have to shift my way of thinking on things. I got to start going back and saying, you know, that's not the mind of Christ. That's not the right way of thinking about things. Sometimes I'll get a little bit critical. Me and Ron, sometimes I get a little bit grouchy, or sometimes I get a little bit overcome by circumstances, and I have to shake myself sometimes and say, wait a minute, what are you thinking about? Where are you? Wait a minute. You know, I continually go back and say to us all the times, we are such a blessed people. We are such a blessed nation. And even in our worst day here, it's better than the best of days in a whole lot of places. Amen? So I have to go back sometimes and say, shake yourself a little bit. Get out of that place where you are. You are blessed beyond measure. Amen? And so we sometimes have to challenge our mind and cause ourselves to think in a different way. Philippians 4 talks about whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. Amen? Anybody in here ever had a bad dream? What's the best way to come out of a bad dream? You got to think about something else. You got to change your way of thinking. If you go back to sleep, everybody went right back to sleep, you go right back where you left off and pick up that dream and keep on going with it. Sometimes you got to wake yourself up a minute and say, whoo, that was a dream. Thank God that was just a dream. And let me think about something good. Let me think about something lovely. Let me think about something honest. I've woke up before and quoted scriptures to myself, or woke up before and thought about something good or a pleasant thought, so I can take my mind out of that place and put it into another place that I like a whole lot better. Amen? And so sometimes we have to shift our mind and shift our way of thinking. Well, in this place where we're in Acts chapter 16 and verse 11, we have Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas are in a place where they've ministered. They've been in with Lydia. If you know the story of Lydia, Lydia was a lady who met on the banks of the river, and they would meet there for prayer. And the scripture says Paul and Silas just come to hang out with them for a while and just sit down amongst them where they were having prayer meeting. And the gospel was preached to Lydia. And what I love about Lydia, she didn't just get saved. And she didn't just get baptized. But the scripture says Lydia and all her household were saved and baptized because they heard the word that Paul preached and they responded to it. How many know there's a difference in hearing the word and responding to it? See, you can hear everything I say today, but if you don't take it to heart or you don't respond to that word, it's just going to be a good story to you. Amen? But we got to respond to some things. And so all her and her household were saved. Amen? How many are glad for some godly women in your life who spoke some things over you, who led you to the place where you are? Amen? Godly men and women, that I believe that God will save us and our household. Amen. So they're in a place, and it says, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And she came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And we can say, that's a bad day. That's a bad day. So here they are, they're preaching the gospel to Lydia, they're on the seashore, just had a great successful revival meeting, people got saved, people got baptized, everything is going good, only there's this woman that's following them who has a spirit of divination, a soothsayer, a fortune teller, and Paul and Silas end up being grieved by this woman, and they turn out and say, and they cast this thing out of her, come out of her. And however, the people that are making money off of her fortune telling, her soothsaying, and all those kind of things are upset now because they've lost their income because the woman who's doing all this for them all of a sudden is delivered by the Holy Ghost. So they bring charges against Paul and Silas and say that their preaching is wrong, that they're teaching laws and customs that are not lawful to be taught amongst them because they are Romans. So they take them and they beat them and they cast them into prison. Anybody in here ever been arrested for your faith? Anybody in here ever been beaten for your faith? Anybody in here ever been thrown in prison for your faith? There was a couple close, but they're not here with us today. Anyway, Pastor Jack and Shirley and Pastor Wilda almost went to prison for their faith, but they didn't have to totally go. I mean, none of us have been in that position. We've not been in that place. And not only have they been arrested, not only have they been beaten, not only have they been thrown in jail, but they give this jailer a charge that he does not let these prisoners escape. In other words, if these prisoners escape, it is your life for their life if you let them go. So he says, I'm not just going to put them in the prison, you know, like the holding tank. If you've ever been to jails or jail services or anything like that, there's like the jail, like the holding tank, but then there's like the prison, like the inside, the inner parts. He said, I'm not just going to put them in jail. I'm going to put them in the inner prison. I'm going to put them in with the hard time guys. I'm going to put them in with the big time guys in the inner prison. And we're going to lock them up there. So they're in stocks and bonds. They're beaten and they're locked up inside the inner prison. That's a bad day. Amen. I said a whole lot of times, you know, we complain about having a bad days. Most of the time we don't have bad days. It's all relevant. So here we are. This is what I would call a bad day. My back hurts. They probably didn't have peroxide and Neosporin then and, you know, Band-Aids and all those comfort things to comfort them after they had beat them. They had stripped them. They had thrown them into prison. Not even prisons like we have today with color television and you know, all the modern conveniences. They're in an inner prison. They're beaten. They're locked up. They're in there with the hardcore guys. And they're in there because they brought deliverance to people because they messed up somebody's merchandise. Let me tell you, when you deal with people's merchandise, you're dealing with their holy grail, their golden calf. Amen? Their money, their purse. Hallelujah. So that's where they are. So what do you do if you find yourself in that place? Well, what do most of us do? We cry. What'd you say, Miss Nelly? Whimper and cry. Yeah, we sing gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. You know, hee-haw. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Here we are. Lord, don't you love me? Lord, you know I've been doing your work. You know I've been faithful to you. Lord, you know that I've given my life to you. How in the world did I end up in this place? Lord, have you forsaken me? Have you walked away from me? Is the heaven shut up? Don't you care about me, Lord, where I am? Anybody ever been there? In those places where you felt like, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't know about you, but I've been in some places sometimes and circumstances and think, I don't know if I really understand this. Hallelujah. But see, you got to have a shift in your way of thinking. What happens most time, that's the mindset that we have. Oh, gloom and despair. My back hurts. I don't like these stocks. The people around me are criminals. They stink. I don't like it where I'm at. How did I get where I'm at? Instead of focusing on everything in our life that seems sometimes to be wrong or bad or heartaches or situations or troubles, we got to shift our mind. We got to shift our thinking. There has to be a shift. And understand, I told you when there's a shifting, that's when an earthquake takes place. So if you got problems in your life, if you're in a situation where your song has been, woe is me, you got to shift some things. You're going to have to cause an earthquake. Amen. We're going to have to cause an earthquake in the middle of our circumstances and situations sometimes. Psalm 77, which is the psalm of Asaph, says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Do you realize when you complain, your spirit becomes overwhelmed? Not just your soul, but your spirit becomes overwhelmed by what? By the confession of your mouth. You begin to complain, and before you know it, your spirit is overwhelmed. And not just your spirit, you know what happens? Complaining is contagious. Having a bad spirit is contagious. Being overwhelmed is contagious. Because if you're not careful, when you're in a bad mood, everybody else around you is going to be in a bad mood. Because your moods or what your confessions are, if you've had a bad day and you bring that home, guess what? Before you know it, your wife or your husband's going to be in a bad mood. Because you bring some of that stuff home with you, and the confession of your mouth is changing the atmosphere in your home. It's changing the atmosphere on your job. Find somebody at work that likes to complain a lot. Boy, you jump right in, and before you know it, you can draw a crowd of complainers because everybody's got a complaint. Amen? But sometimes we're going to have to understand how to shift. We're going to have to move. We're going to have to cause an earthquake. So what I love about this is instead of Paul and Silas sitting there singing, woe, woe, woe is me, boy, gloom and despair, everything is bad, God has forsaken me, how did I get here? They began to praise. Go ahead and bring me up the next one there, Jim. And at midnight, Paul and Silas did what? And did what? Unto God, and the prisoners heard them. A couple points I want to make here. I may know at midnight it is the darkest hour. From that point, from early in the day until midnight, it is progressively getting darker. Dark, 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 until it hits midnight. And from midnight on, it progressively starts to get lighter. I may know that midnight is the dawning of a new day. In the midnight hour is when it's the darkest, but 1 minute after midnight, how many know it's a brand new day? Amen? It's the dawning of a new day. And it says they prayed and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. There's a shift in where they are. Yes, they've been falsely accused. Yes, they're in jail. Yes, they've been beaten. Yes, they're in the inner prison. Yes, it doesn't seem like this is fair, but I'm going to lift my voice and begin to praise and sing praises unto God. Hallelujah. I'm going to lift my voice and sing praises unto God, because even if it doesn't change my circumstances or my situations, it's going to change how I review it, how I look at it, and how I feel about it. The worst thing can happen is it's going to lift your spirits. The worst thing that's going to happen is it's going to change your mood. The worst thing that's going to happen is it's going to give you a new outlook on things. Amen? But not only does it change your mood, does it only change your outlook, does it change your confession of things, but it begins to change your circumstances. How many know when they shifted to a mentality and an anthem of praise and worship and prayer before God, it caused a shifting in the earth, and the shifting caused an earthquake. Verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. What brings the earthquake? What brings the earthquake? Prayer, worship, a change, a shift in the way they're seeing things, a shift in our circumstance, the shift in our mentality, a shift in our thinking, where they thought, everybody thought that they would be sad and brokenhearted, and so could have been sat there and said, man, Silas, my back hurts. Yeah, mine hurts pretty bad too, Paul. Well, I think they hit me more than they hit you. I think he missed you. I think I got the worst of it. Amen? That's how we are sometimes. We're so reflecting on the situation that we take our eyes off of God and take our eyes onto the situation, and we become overwhelmed by it. We become overtaken by it, overcome by it. They said, you know what? I'm not even going to think about this. I'm not going to reflect on this. I'm going to lift my voice to God. I'm going to pray and believe God for deliverance out of here. And above and beyond that, when I pray, I'm going to believe. And when I believe, I'm going to sing. And when I sing, I'm going to praise. And when I praise, I'm going to worship. And when I worship, I'm going to cause an earthquake that's going to cause my circumstances and my situations to change. And I'm not going to sit here and reflect on my bad day. I'm going to start to praise my God because I know that my God is able to deliver me from this place that I'm in. How many know Daniel got out of the lion's den because he knew how to pray? He knew how to praise God. He knew his God was able to shut the mouths of lions. He knew God, his God was able to bring him deliverance out of that place. Hallelujah. And so as we begin to lift our voice and we begin to praise and we begin to shout and we begin to quote the scriptures and we begin to declare the day of the Lord, we declare that we are blessed and not cursed. We are healed and not afflicted. We are raised up. We are a child of the Most High God. We're children of the King. We're heirs and joint heirs. We're kings and princes unto God. Hallelujah. We begin to change our mindset. We begin to change our thinking. We begin to change that place where we're in. And when we change the place where we're in, when we begin to lift up God, he said an earthquake started to happen. There was a shifting. There was something that started to take place. And the earthquake came. And so that the foundations, even of the prison, were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open. And everyone's bands were loose. See, it's a great story to me that Paul and Silas began to lift their hands and begin to praise and worship God. Did they have a worship team behind them? No, probably not. Did they have a band playing? Probably not. Could they sing on key? Maybe not. But they began to lift their voice and their heart unto God. And what happens is, not only are you delivered, not only do your circumstances change, not only are you touched and delivered and brought up out of that place, but the scripture says the foundations of the very prison are shaken, everyone's bands are loose, and everybody is set free. Can I tell you, there are those in the inner prison that's waiting on somebody to stand up and give some glory, somebody to stand up and say some good news, somebody to stand up and say, we're not overcome by this, we're going to overcome evil with good, that we're going to lift our voice and praise in spite of circumstances. And can I tell you, there are people watching you get deliverance that will say, if you get deliverance, I can get deliverance. If you can get out of this place, I can get out of this place. If you can get deliverance, I can get deliverance. Hallelujah. And stand up out of that place, and those people are delivered by the confession and the praise of what's coming out of your mouth. Hallelujah. We have to guard sometimes what we say in the confession of our mouth sometimes and say, you know what, I am blessed, I'm not cursed. Hallelujah, I have the favor of God upon me. I am the blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. And as we begin to confess those things and exalt him, not only are we delivered, but those around us who are in a prison place can stand up out of that prison place and say, they were delivered, and I saw deliverance, and I received deliverance even through their deliverance. Amen? It is so easy to get caught up in looking at prison bars and looking at dark, dingy concrete floors and looking at the wounds on our back and looking at the numbers in our bank account and looking about what the numbers on the scale says and looking at what the doctor's profession is. We can get so caught up sometimes looking at those things that we miss out on an earthquake that's ours if we'll begin to praise him and raise him and shout the glory and the praise and cause an earthquake, cause a shifting to happen in our circumstances, that not only us receive deliverance, but everybody around us receives deliverance. Do you know that your family learns how to respond to crisis by how they see you responding to crisis? If you fall apart in the middle of a crisis, guess what? Good chance they're going to fall apart. If everything that happens into you in a daytime sets you off and lights your fire, guess what? You're probably going to have kids just like you that respond in the same way. Your actions and the way we respond sometimes in situations and circumstances, it is contagious. It is contagious. And we teach those things and say, why are they acting like that? Because they're acting just like you. They're acting just like their father. That's what I tell them at our house. He says, oh, no, they're acting just like their mama. That's what it is. I mean, no, they learn. Yep. They learn what we live way more than what we speak. Yeah. And what we say. Amen? And kids can read you like a book. Yep. You want to know an opinion about a person? Ask a kid. Because they mostly can read them better than you can. We get it caught up with what they're wearing, what they're driving, you know, what we know, their reputation. Kids don't know about all that kind of stuff. You want to know, I used to ask my kids, what do you think about them? They'd tell me honestly what they think. I said, well, that's kind of what I was thinking. You're probably right. But they learn way more by what you live than what you speak. Hallelujah. And as Christians, we are challenged in our thinking not to get caught up in the muck and the mully grubs. And be overwhelmed by those things, but begin to praise and shout and lift our voices to God and say, you know what? I don't like this situation I'm in. As a matter of fact, it's not fair, and I didn't even cause it. But I know how to cause a shifting, and I know how to cause a shaking, and I know how to cause an earthquake, and I know how to change where I'm at. Hallelujah. And not only will I change it for myself, but I might change it for my husband or my wife, might change it for my kids, might change it for the in-laws, might change it for the extended family, might change it on my job. If I start having a different mentality, a different outlook, a different voice when I speak. Hallelujah. You know anybody who every time you run into them, they're always speaking defeat, always speaking doom? I have some people I never say, how are you today? Because they're never good. They never have a good day by profession of their mouth. And most of the time, what I said, we really don't have bad days. Hallelujah. Most of the time, we're having some pretty good days. Hallelujah. And so we have to watch the confession of our mouth. But he said, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Verse 27.
So if complaint and murmuring can create an atmosphere for snakes, if people would hate what that produces as much as we hate snakes, you know, yep. We'd probably turn around and say, if creating murmuring, complaining can create an environment for snakes to operate, praise and worship creates an atmosphere where God can move.
Yep, absolutely.
And if we just really earthquakes. Our tongue was like the rudder of a ship, is what James says, that you can set the direction. I was just thinking we probably ought to just make up a big sign that says, your tongue is the steering wheel. Where do you want to go?
Yep. There you go. T-shirt.
Yep. There's a T-shirt.
There's a T-shirt. Your tongue is the steering wheel. Where do you want to go?
Yeah.
Amen.
You frame your world by what you speak. It's what
by words.
By
amen.
Words. And we frame our worlds by what we speak and declare.
Yep. Yep. Amen. Even through the gospel that we preach, through the things that we declare, that we speak, instruction, all of those kind of things, we frame worlds. And the power of life and death, the scripture says, is where? It's in the tongue. You can either speak life or you can speak death. And I wonder how often we speak death and don't even know it. Not, I hope you die kind of thing, but speaking things that are negative and our downers are condescending or condemning to people, and what we're doing is speaking death to them instead of speaking life. Yeah, most people already know they got problems. So you can constantly dwell on the problems and say, you better straighten up, you got to stop that. And some of that's the truth. But sometimes we got to challenge them and say, but you're a better person than that. There's potential in you. I believe in you. I believe there's greatness in you. I believe that you can be a better person than you are today. I believe we can challenge people to come up to a higher place, bring deliverance in their life, and not condemnation. Amen? And so as he begins to speak there, he says, "And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled, because he received a what? A charge to protect these prisoners. So therefore, he put them in the inner prison to make sure that they would not escape. And he, awaking out of his sleep, realizes that the prison doors are open. Surely everybody in there has run for the hills. But guess what? They're all just sitting there, looking around, saying, "Oh, my Jesus, there was just an earthquake. Something just happened. I felt the earth move under my feet." I knew Lynn would want to sing that. They looked around, and instead of running or fleeing, they're so in awe of what's just happening here that nobody's going anywhere. He said, supposing they would have all have fled, he's going to kill himself. But Paul cries out with a loud voice, saying, "Wait, do yourself no harm. We're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in. See, you couldn't even see where they are. It was darkness in there. It was in the inner prison. He springs for a light, came in trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What's he saying? Something big just happened here. Something big just shifted here. Something big just changed here. There was an earthquake. There was a shaking. There was something. God just moved in the midst of a bad situation. I got guys, good guys, bad guys. I don't know my life or their life, but something just took place here because there was an earthquake. And he comes to Paul and Silas and says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Did Paul and Silas preach to him on the way in while they was locking him up? We don't know. Did he hear their voices being lifted up in anthems while they're praying and praising? We don't know. But something about the shaking, something about the shifting, something about the earthquake causes this man to say, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Hallelujah. When people see deliverance in your life, that's what will draw them to have deliverance in their life. The scripture says that we're living epistles, known and read of all men. How many know people read your lives? They read your book. They know all about you. And when they can see deliverance in your life, it gives them hope that there can come deliverance in their life. Amen? He said, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And what? You mean by me believing that my house could be saved? You mean by me believing that things could take place in my children? You mean by me being saved, by me making a decision, by me making a shift, by me having an earthquake, something could happen in me, and not just in me, but my house and my household? He didn't just minister to him. He said, you can be saved and your house. I submit to you this morning that you are a savior for your household. Oh, not the savior, because we know how that price got paid. But how many know someone needs to minister to their household? When Noah got on the boat, he took himself and his family on the boat. Hallelujah. Liddy was saved and her household. This jailer was saved and his household. You have an earthquake in your life, the tremors are going to be felt in your generations. The tremors, the shaking, the aftershock is going to be felt in your house and in your generations and in your seed and in your children. Hallelujah. How many in here are ready to cause an earthquake? I'm ready to cause an earthquake. I'm ready to be a shaking. I'm ready to be some tremors and some aftershock felt, not even in just me, but in my household and in my children and my children's children. Hallelujah. Next verse. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Hallelujah. I can't tell you how important it is how you respond to things. I can't tell you how important it is how we respond to situations and circumstances in our life, because not just me depends on it, not just for me to have a good day, not for me just to get out of that place where I'm in, but by causing an earthquake, causing our voices to be changed, a praise, a worship, lifting our hearts and our hands to God and say, God, I'm going to praise you in the midst of the storm. I'm going to praise you in the midst of these things that's going on. I'm going to lift one hand without wrath, and I'm going to lift one hand without doubt, and I'm going to say, my God is big enough. My God is God all by himself, and I'm going to declare his glory and his day, because I know if you'll cause an earthquake where I am, it's going to be felt in other ways in my house and in my families and in my generations. Hallelujah. So I'm going to begin to praise him in the midst of storms. I'm going to praise him in the midst of circumstances, because I want God to cause an earthquake where I am. If you don't like the place where you're in today, you're saying, but you don't know where I'm at. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm struggling with. You don't know what I'm dealing with. Cause an earthquake. Change it. Cause a shifting. Cause something to take place to say, I've been here, but I'm not going to stay here any longer. I'm going to cause something to be shaken loose. Something to fall off of me, because the praise and worship caused an earthquake that caused the bands to be loosed and everyone's chains fell off. See, that's empowering to me to realize that we have the power to cause other people's chains to fall off. Amen. By what we declare, what we believe, and what we speak. Hallelujah. Elijah was in a place where he had just come for 400 prophets of Baal. He had had the battle on top of the mountain. He calls down fire from heaven. God sends down fire from heaven. I mean, he is Time Magazine's man of the hour. There hadn't been any rain on the earth. Elijah calls fire from heaven. He causes it to rain. He is top dog, man of the hour, except there's a woman named Jezebel that says, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to have your head. And she begins to speak death to him and speaks fear into him. What Lynn was sharing a little bit ago, we can walk among the snakes and cause an environment for snakes to be, or we can get up out of that place. See, what Elijah should have done was look to the mountain, what God had just done on the mount against the prophets of Baal. But what does he do? He hears a voice from a little lady named Jezebel. Jezebel's looking for you, Elijah. One woman, one wicked city woman is looking for, that's what Ernest T. would have called. Was it Ernest T.? One wicked city woman was looking for him. And so what does he do? He goes and hides himself in a place, and he sits down, and he has a King James version of a pity party, and he says, Lord, it's enough, oh, now just take away my life, because I'm the only one left that's doing anything for you. I'm the only one left that's serving you. I'm the only one that's ever been in this place where I am right now. So just take my life away. I've had it. I'm done. And so you know what happens? A shift starts. He says, Elijah, go hide out in the cleft of the rock. And he said, first there was the wind, then there was an earthquake, then there was a still small voice. And then God begins to speak and says, Elijah, what are you doing here? What doest thou here, Elijah? He says, because that nasty Jezebel's looking for me, and I'm left. I'm the only one left that's serving you, God. And he says, well, if that's what you want, Elijah, if you're done, then you get up out of this place, and before I can release you, you go and anoint Hazael, and you go and anoint Elisha, and you go and anoint others in your place. And by the way, Elijah, I got 7,000 just like you that's never bowed the knee to Baal. I mean, God has to take his thinking to another place. This really ain't all about you, Elijah. This really ain't all about you. You got to take your mind to another place sometime. You got to take your thinking to another place sometime. Hallelujah. And cause an earthquake. Hallelujah. Sometimes we have to cause an earthquake. How many know when Jesus yielded up the ghost on the cross, he caused an earthquake? For where they said, if he be God, let him get himself down and these others. If he be God, he saved others, let him save himself. But when he begins to cry out on the cross, it is finished. I mean, no, it causes an earthquake. And to the point, their shifting changes, and they say, surely this was the Son of God. Surely this is God. I want you to know this morning, surely God is in the midst of your circumstance. Surely God is in the midst of where you are. And we have to cause an earthquake sometimes to shift us, to shake us out of the place where we are. But to cause an earthquake, we're going to have to pray and lift our voices in praise and worship and change our thinking to another place. How many know that we're victorious today? We have the victory. He said he was a conqueror. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Not just conquerors. We are more than a conqueror. Because he conquered, we can walk in a place where we are more than conquerors. We are the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. We are the first and not the last. We are the blessed of the Lord. How many know you are highly favored today? Hallelujah. So we have to change sometimes our concept and our thinking to cause an earthquake in our situation. Not just for yourself, but for everybody else involved. Amen? Everybody else that's in that prison situation that needs their bands to be loosed, your victory can be their victory. Your deliverance can be their deliverance. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you.